You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Hey, Chris Manning here.
And joining Chris, is, as always, is Evan.
So we obviously posted a very long episode up in the feed that you should go check out, doing a bunch of what-ifs with a very fun guest. So we'll check that out. We have our book club coming this week. We have what-ifs coming with David Zavok, with Justin Rowan, and our, you know, the book club and stuff will continue next week. But we wanted to just touch on the actual news going on right now. We're going to do just a quick little update for you now on what is going on with the things reopening in terms of the Cavs arena, in terms of player availability, stuff like that. The Cavs, as of last Friday, were one of the first two NBA teams to go back to an NBA arena, be allowed to go in there and practice. There's a lot of protocols being put in place. According to the team, they say that it's minimum 12 feet apart between players. There's only, I believe, four in there at a time. Now, they don't have every player back. The initial group was Kevin Love, Larry Nance Jr., Jetty Osman, and Ante Zizic. As far as I know, Colin Sexton, like, for instance, is being advised not to come back from Georgia right now. Andre Drummond is in Miami. I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. Tristan Thompson, last I understand, is in L.A. Like, you're going to have some diaspora here in terms of guys not being around. But, Evan, this, I would say for me, when I think about this, I think the biggest signal here is this is the first baby step back to anything coming back. You could have not, and we cannot envision a world where games get back unless this comes back and you get practice in some way. We're still, it feels like a long ways off from real normal. We'll see where that goes. But that's my only real takeaway here.
No, I agree. I think not just in the NBA, but team sports as a whole. I feel like this is, we were talking about this in our prior episode about how baseball is getting ready to open things back up. But I feel like the NBA is a lot more socially in tune with the grand scheme of things. And I do know this from a PR perspective, at least, and not even just a PR, but just a human to human and goodwill thing. The NBA and the Cavaliers organization as a whole, like, they aren't rushing back to completely open up things. They want to make sure testing kits are regularly available for frontline workers and patients who need them way more than players who are either asymptomatic or aren't exhibiting symptoms to begin with. I know the Cavs have to be a little extra careful with Larry Nance Jr. having an autoimmune disease like Crohn's disease, but they're taking the necessary precautions. I think it's a standard rule, but I know the Cavs are for sure. Like, players have to wear masks and gloves, and they each get two balls that are labeled individually for a player, and they're disinfected after every time they shoot. And then the Cavs, during off days, they plan this in advance, will completely wipe down and clean the entire facility. Like, there's no access to the locker rooms. Coaches can't be present. I mean, assistant coaches can be present, but head coach, that JB Bickerstaff, cannot be present. They can do some weight training, which is with just standard machines that can be easily cleaned. Like, yeah, no, this is a step in the right direction for sure, but I don't think this is any indicator that the NBA is going to be rushing back and be anytime soon, because there's a lot bigger things right now, and that these testing kits and just the general safety and well-being of everybody in general takes priority over all of this. And I think sports coming back is definitely a good thing, but I just don't think there's a huge rush. But like you said, yeah, no, this is the first step in the right direction, and hopefully, knock it on wood here, we're heading towards the right direction.
Yeah, and I think what has come out, I think the other thing about this, and just talking to players, and Larry Nance alluded to this when he spoke to media, that it wasn't us, unfortunately, in the Zoom call they set up with some local and itchy quasi-national reporters. If you look at what he's saying, and you look at what you talk to most players, the structure is really one of the things that gets them through this. Like, these are guys that have routines. They have kind of a minute by minute, if maybe it's not that granular, but they have a pretty clear path of how they're going to approach their days. And when you're an athlete and you don't have access to a court, you maybe not all of them have gyms at their home.
You're a hoop to shoot in.
Like, your rehab is messed up because you obviously don't have a lot of the technical equipment or bath access or anything like kind of saunas or anything like that that you might be using, those are at the Cavs practice. So you don't have access. That's just going to disrupt your routine. Mm-hmm. I think if you're, you know, if you're a player, you want that kind of structure. I think it is one of the things about sports that I think gets lost a lot. Just I think these guys really do value structure. They value the best of the best value structure. They value a routine. They value kind of knowing what to expect and the variables they can control. A pandemic in the way we are seeing it and the way it has affected society is the ultimate example of something that just is unpredictable and affecting things in a lot of different ways. And that's, you know, it's not the most important priority, but it is what it is. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Just to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. This is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. These have around 20 grams of protein in a lot of these, 15 to 20 grams of protein. They have an amazing range of flavors, 16 different flavors, some that have nuts, 8 that have donuts. They have great flavors like peanut butter brownie. That's 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, only 3 grams of sugar. Mint brownie, that is 15 grams of protein and 110 calories and only 5 grams of net carbohydrates. I also just brought back the cookie dough bar. I know myself, I ordered some of the cookie dough ones because cookie dough protein bars are awesome. And getting a really well-made cookie dough protein bar is a godsend when you just want a little treat. Evan and I know, having been athletes in our previous pre-blogging podcasting lives, there are so many bad protein bars out there.
No, there really are, and for those of you who maybe heard a small padding noise, that was me flexing just to let everyone, the folks know at home, that I'm still an athlete, because I consume Built Bars, and they are really the best-tasting protein bar ever, and one of the biggest things for me is they're low in sugar, and they have low net carbs, and they're high in protein and fiber. Like, it's the perfect thing for me, because I'm also type 1 diabetic, and being able to eat a protein bar that doesn't make my blood sugars just go completely out of whack, especially post-workout when I'm trying to maintain my blood sugar levels to begin with, is huge. And like Chris said, it's a great sweet treat to have and definitely a part of my, it's going to be one of my mainstays going forward for both just workouts and life in general. It's great.
Yeah, so please check them out. If you want to support the Locked On Network and go check out Built Bars, you can go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order at builtbar.com. Evan, as we come back here, I just want to note the other quote that I thought was very notable from this is J.B. Bickerstaff. Now, J.B. Bickerstaff is, as everyone knows, the Cavs head coach. Here's what he told reporter during this quote: "For whatever reason it is, and maybe I'm being optimistic here, I feel like there's some way we're all going to be able to come back from this. What it looks like, I have absolutely no idea, but there's just something, some part of me that believes there are a lot of intelligent people who are working to get this thing done, and somehow, some way, they're going to get it done. I'm hopeful, but I genuinely believe that we're going to get an opportunity to play again." He had some other quotes about this. I think everyone is eager to play again, at least in some capacity. You and I are of the opinion that if the Cavs, if/when they come back, there are not going to be a lot of Cavs basketball games. Mm-mm. But it's notable to me that the head coach is saying it in that way, that that someone who, you know, you would assume has some knowledge of what is going on is optimistic about this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the bigger thing with JB is he doesn't say things just to say it. Like, JB is very measured in what he says. He's very level-headed, smart. He doesn't like to get too far ahead of himself. He's pretty realistic and in the moment, and if he's feeling optimistic about it, I'm sure, maybe this is me reading the tea leaves a little bit, maybe he's heard some things that isn't exactly public knowledge, that the NBA is maybe working towards something that is possible. But like we touched on in the last segment, this is the first step in the right direction, and something I didn't even touch on before is now NBA teams can at least monitor players and their health and overall well-being just by having them in a controlled environment where you know that the gym that they're entering to work out and shoot around in is 100% clean, 100% sterile. And then, like JB said, like, people are putting together a smart contingency plan so that everything heads in the right direction, so that this is a pandemic I feel like that we're going to have to just live with. It's going to become a part of day-to-day life where once a vaccine, God willing, is found and easily able to be mass-produced and, you know, doesn't completely get destroy people who don't have health insurance, like, those are the big things for me. like, that's all going to be key. And, like, if the NBA is able to be at the forefront of this, like, I know a lot of players who have either had it or who are asymptomatic are donating, or even the Cavs. Like, I read that the Cavs players that are participating in the workouts that are available are donating their blood plasma to the Mayo Clinic to help speed along this finding a vaccination for this, and just something, just anything to really give us something to grab onto. And yeah, no, I think JB being optimistic about this is definitely a step in the right direction. I think also just the players in general just feeling the energy and the good vibes from it. Like, yeah, there may not be a lot of Cavs games left, but it's nice to have something fresh and relevant to talk about with this team again. And it's a little weird, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. I know I keep saying that, but that's what it really is.
And look, things are going to keep going on. I mean, during the last week, I honestly missed it until I was looking for a news story, but Brock Ehler is going to the Knicks officially. That is, he's the Cavs cap specialist, or was. He now is going to work for the Knicks. Things are going to go on here and continue.
Yeah.
The business of the NBA is going to continue to run. Now, we'll have to see how this does kind of ultimately play out. This is going to be an ongoing challenge. JB had a very kind of JB quote about this, saying it's a challenge for us to get out of, to think outside the box. That is, you know, a pretty funny way to just say like the obvious, and it's mm-hmm. cliche and whatever, but this is the reality we're kind of in. This is the reality of us trying to kind of figure this stuff out. I'll be really curious to see where we kind of head from here.
Yeah.
You know, Evan, I think what do you think the next step is? What is the next thing you're looking forward to seeing? I think there's a kind of a couple things on my end, but what do you think about where we're kind of headed here?
I think the next step is we're going to have not a hard plan, but maybe a tentative plan of where the NBA, at least, we're focusing on this for major sports, is going to head next, whether they play in Disney or they play on the Vegas Strip or they play at practice facilities with multiple courts if they have to, or whatever they need to do. Like, they're going to have a bit of a better idea of where they're going to be headed next and what realistically the timeline is going to be just based on that, because I know some teams are getting the certification and the okay from their home states. I know the Orlando Magic are one of them, to be able to perform in-house tests on their players and personnel, just because this is going to be a new day-to-day thing going forward. Like I said, until there's some type of vaccination or cure that can be found for this, I think that's going to be one of the next steps. And I also think, like, once that becomes a bit more of the norm and, like, people are coming around to the idea of that, I think that's when we're going to start seeing the idea of a tangible timeline of when we're actually going to get real basketball action, and then we can start taking those next steps from there. What about you?
I think there are two things. Number one, we need to see more teams. If this is actually going to happen, more teams need to be able to go back to their facilities. There's just a handful of teams right now that are back in their facilities. The Cavs are at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
It's one of the under-talked about aspects of this, that the Cavs are one of the first teams in doing this. You need to see
Portland, right?
Yeah, it's them in Portland, and I think Atlanta was going to be within a couple weeks, theoretically. I think like a Friday the 15th was one of the days they might be around kind of going back at the very least. There's another team that I think was going to this week, but like
you have states like... We're recording this on a Tuesday evening. Miami's reopening tomorrow,
right?
So on the 13th.
There's not many teams. Like, you're not going to see the Lakers, like there's teams like that in California, the many teams in California, the New York area. Like the Knicks don't practice in New York City, but I believe the Nets do.
I think their facility's in Brooklyn, yes.
Yeah, so like there's obviously severe considerations there, and I think about where we're headed from there. I also just need to see how fast players can come back into markets. I mean, I would imagine that there's going to be some kind of reintroduction process for Colin Sexton coming back. I know there was a whole kerfuffle about Sekou Nwaboya went to France, and there's a whole concern kind of about him leaving the country. Like, I think you're going to have stuff where we need to see if guys can come back. And right now there's talk. There was a report today from Woj that came up before we recorded this, that basically they're texting players right now regionally and trying to determine, like, you know, do players want to play again? Like, do players want to restart the season? There's going to be players that have a call together, and, you know, including Chris Paul, the head of the NBAPA. So I think there's just a lot of steps like that need to happen before we kind of head things figured out. I just don't know like what mm-hmm. some of this looks like, and I don't think we will until we actually see it happen. Like I think that's the scariest part of this is mm-hmm. I think everyone wants sports back. If you're one of the people out there that's arguing that sports reporters, there's some idiot at CBS was like arguing this. I don't know if you saw this, that sports reporters have been out here arguing that we don't want sports back. It's bad for us when sports isn't back, but I want to see it done safely.
Same.
I loved watching the UFC card on Saturday. I've loved watching The Last Dance. Like, sports scratches such a particular itch that cannot mm-hmm. be scratched by anything else. It should not come back until we can actually do it safely.
No, I absolutely agree. I think we're just both on the same page as this. And on a lighter note, just to maybe talk about the state of the Nets versus the state of the Knicks in New York. So the Nets do practice in Brooklyn. So actually, their practice facility is by a Costco, according to Google Maps, which is, you know, neat.
Joe Harris once talked about how busy that Costco is on an episode of the Full 48. Former Cavs guard Joe Harris.
Cavs legend spoken Joe Harris. But the Knicks, meanwhile, their practice facility is 45 minutes without traffic from Manhattan. With traffic, according to Taj Gibson, it's about 3 times as long to drive to practice every day. I could not think of a more apt comparison to how the Knicks are function as a franchise is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, folks.
It's wild. It's insane how far like that is from there. But Evan, any final thoughts that we got here so far in the media sessions that Evan and I are fortunately not in on, which mm-hmm. we're hoping to have find a workaround to that soon. It's been Larry Nance. It's been JB Bickerstaff. I think Jetty and Kevin both are logical ones to hear from. But any other final thoughts as we get out of here on this kind of bonus episode?
I hope everyone's staying safe. Hope everyone's doing well. Frontline workers, if you're passing your time, I know your shifts, especially if you're working on COVID floors. I know your shifts are already chaotic enough as is. Even if you're not working on a COVID floor, like it's tense in any hospital, I can only imagine. Hope you're doing okay. Make sure you take time for yourself, just mentally, physically. Go take a walk. Unplug yourself from the news. That's a big thing I've been doing lately. Is it's the 24-hour news cycle is absolutely vicious on you mentally and emotionally. I've kind of condensed my news into bites instead, so I don't completely just push myself over the edge. And I just hope you guys are all doing okay. You too, Chris. You and your wife as well.
Yeah, I hope everyone out there is doing well. Evan, I hope you're doing well. Yeah. I've been trying to read more, which has been good, and break up some. I'm doing a Star Wars The Clone Wars rewatch in chronological order for the first time because I watched it like season order last time I watched it. Saw some casting news for The Mandalorian. That is very exciting as far as casting a very key Clone Wars character in season 2 of The Mandalorian or season 3 or something of The Mandalorian. So that's very exciting. And on top of who we're going to get playing my favorite Star Wars character of all time, Ahsoka Tano, in season 2.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to say fucking Boba Fett. I'm like, don't even get me started.
No, Boba Fett is the most overrated character in the Star Wars canon.
Can I have a soapbox for like 30 seconds about my beat?
Okay, Evan, we have a podcast not to talk about the kids, professionally to talk about the Cavs.
Locked just on Mandalorian with Evan. For those of you who know me, and Chris is kind of getting this idea because I enjoy our friendship and I don't want to ruin it by giving my full thoughts on Star Wars. But one of my biggest problems with the Star Wars universe is the fact that they're like, hey, remember this, remember this, remember this. This is awesome, isn't it? That's badass. Like, this is so cool. I love The Mandalorian because it's a tightly crafted story within the Star Wars universe that pulls elements from the Star Wars universe but tells its own narrative. Like, the Baby Yoda thing, like, yeah, I get it. One, it's for toys, and two, like, it's a callback to Yoda. I get it. But, like, I looked past that because everything else is so good about it. They announced that Boba Fett, if he's going to be a major character in the season 2 of The Mandalorian, I'm like, this is exactly what I don't want them to do with Star Wars.
Well, here's the thing. They did tease it because the end of the episode where he's in the desert and you hear the spurs, that's the Boba Fett, like, that's the takeoff that's Boba Fett. The reason I'm okay with it is because if you're talking about someone who can, like, there are very few characters left at this point that we understand that can, like, challenge the Mandalorian bounty hunter way to Mando, and Boba's kind of one of those guys, and Bo-Katan is one of the other ones, who Katie Sackhoff is going to play, which is just amazing casting, Bo-Katan Freeze. and you're also gonna have Ahsoka Tano. Like, that, those are the kind of characters in the lore that I'm cool with showing up. But I understand the Boba Fett concerns. I get it, because the idea of that
I don't get why he's popular. I don't.
Yeah, because he looks cool. It's because he looks cool.
Yeah, he looks cool, and George Lucas is a genius because I don't know the exact number, but I believe it's almost 100% of the toy rights when the movies first came out, and he's kept that deal. Like, George Lucas is a genius businessman because he probably saw Boba Fett, and he's like, so many kids are going to think that's such a cool toy.
Yes.
And now I'm going to get annoyed at him in The Mandalorian.
Well, I don't. Here's the thing. Number one, did you know that they did not show Baby Yoda off the bat because of Donald Glover? That, like, he was not a thing that people knew was going to be in the show until they, like, that was hidden in the promos because of Donald Glover.
I didn't know that. It was because
of Donald Glover told Jon Favreau when they were making The Lion King together that he should hide Baby Yoda, and then because it'll be more of a bigger deal if you let it happen organically in the show as opposed to teasing it out before, and that's why Disney hid that.
That's
Donald Glover, smart guy. Number two, Dave Filoni is involved with The Mandalorian. I trust Dave Filoni with anything Star Wars. If Dave Filoni is involved, I think it's going to be great.
Well, okay, I'll give you that one.
I mean,
have
you seen the clip of him? I haven't watched the full documentary, and I'm now going to. But did you see about making The Mandalorian? But did you see where he talks about the duel at the end of Phantom Menace, where it's Qui-Gon, and he's talking about it, about, like, have you seen that clip that's been going around on Twitter?
I have. And okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Dave Filoni just, like, explaining that in that way and, like, what that's supposed to mean. And obviously that movie still sucks and the prequels are garbage. And, you know, frankly, at this point, there's only been, like, the last Star Wars movie that came out is garbage and I haven't even wanted to rewatch it. But it's, like, I think I trust Dave Filoni. Like,
I trust Taika Waititi.
I trust, well, yeah, he's involved. Like, he's going to make, take my money now for his movies. But, like, just like I would trust, like, David Griffin, I trust Dave Filoni.
There we go. We brought it full circle, folks. We went from Star Wars and we brought it back. Trust Dave. Trust Lil Dicky.
Trust middle-aged white guys named Dave that have beards.
Oh, my God. You're just describing Lil Dicky more and more, Chris.
Look at this.
We're a fan.
If you're playing locked on Cas Bingo, you definitely... This is amazing. But, yeah, that's going to be it for this episode. Again, check out our other episode with Alona. That episode's up. We'll have the book club on Friday. A whole bunch of other things coming your way for myself, for Evan. It's been Locked On Cavs. Thanks again to Built Bar. Check out builtbar.com, promo code Locked On for your protein bar needs. Tastes like a candy bar. They're great. We'll talk to you guys again very, very soon.